today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Southwest finally announces more flights from Sacramento to Hawaii. South Stockton's flights to Los Angeles start this week. And Tom, I've lost the headlines here, so you're going to have to take it for the next one. I found them here. All right, and guess which state has the cleanest hotels? Details next in the news.
All right, Mark has had an extended weather delay in Chicago today, which has affected his thinking, and some insights into the behavior of his fellow passengers in our Smarter Traveler segment at 3:20.
Yes, sir. And you can't believe this setup that I have here in the hotel room that I reclaimed after I went to the airport. But anyways, we'll talk all about that stuff later on. Steve LaRosa stops by from time to time, mostly to bother us, but sometimes he has tips on things to do in and around Sacramento. And he's here today, and he has his latest What's Going On at 3:35.
A brand new show about a princess is headed to Broadway, and at 3:50, Clayton Whitehead joins us to tell us all about it, because after all, he's already seen it.
Yeah, he has. We are here to make your next journey just a little better because, hey, it's our job. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
To Alaska, I go north, the rush is on.
Well, for heaven's sakes, look what you've stumbled across on your radio. It's amazing. It's another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys here every Sunday from 3 to 4. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, that's us. We're your hosts, and we're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, Mark is in Chicago. I'm in Sacramento here in the studios. I think, Mark, you were supposed to leave Chicago and go to St. Louis about a day and a half ago. What's the deal?
Well, it was supposed to happen this morning. It might still happen sometime late tonight. The skies opened up here in Chicago. Despite the fact, I realize that some folks don't think the climate is changing, but the climate is changing. And severe thunderstorms have become more common here in the Midwestern part of the country, something that happens frequently anyway, but is happening more often. This has been a very, very tough summer in the Midwest. And Chicago this morning for 4 hours had driving rainstorms. So it basically forced everything to either be pushed back or shorter flights ultimately to be canceled. And I'm for those of you who, Chicago to St. Louis is kind of like Sacramento to San Francisco. And so when the weather goes bad, those little short hops like that tend to be the things that get eliminated. So it has been kind of fun here. I went to the airport. I came back. They were nice enough to give me back my hotel room. Oh, did I mention they also extracted $49 from me to have it for the day? But that's not too bad. And so here I am, ready for the Travel Guys. How are you, Mr. Romano?
Doing well. I was a little concerned about earlier today when we were trying to, you know, put all the pieces together for today's show as to whether, you know, there was a point where you thought you might be doing a part of the show from while waiting to board the plane, and then maybe some of it from actually on the plane, which perhaps we should give a try here pretty soon. But other than that, just all settled in here. I was perusing the Travel Guys radio website. There's all kinds of great photos and stuff there. So if you're one of these people that like to listen to the radio and kind of doodle at the same time, doodle on over to travelguysradio.com. There you can follow along with the program when Steve is on later at 3:35, and we do the What's Going On around Sacramento. You're going to find links to all of the great entertainment events that we'll be talking about in case you want to get some tickets along the way. Lots of great stuff going on in the travel news. Very excited, especially those of us that were interested in getting off to Hawaii on Southwest. So without further ado, let's get to it. Mark's got our travel news for us. Mark, let us have it.
Well, Thomas, new air service. Stockton is getting, which has had Allegiant Air flying out of Stockton for a while, is getting daily air service again. United Airlines to Los Angeles is going to begin flying to Stockton next week. This was announced last December, but the service starts next week. The round-trip fare is $185. They are 50-passenger planes. They will leave Stockton in the morning at 7:40 and 3 o'clock. There are returns from Los Angeles at 1 and 5:10 in the afternoon. So for those of you who live in Elk Grove or Galt or, you know, something like that, why
maybe even Stockton? Maybe even Stockton.
Maybe even Stockton and are listening to this broadcast, why this is good news for you. It sounds like a fairly reasonable fare. You could probably get something a little cheaper on Southwest from Sacramento, but then again, you'd have to come to Sacramento to do it. And Tom, I also noticed the other day something that kind of snuck under our radar. The little airlines don't always send out big press releases, but Boutique Airlines, which is a small carrier that has been serving some cities in Colorado and Utah and has expanded to some other cities around the country, is doing some service up in Oregon to Portland, is running a flight once a day to Merced to and from Sacramento. So you can now catch a flight from Sacramento to Merced, middle of the day flight. What are they, 8-seaters or 10-seaters, something like that, trying to reach the Boutique Air folks to get them on the line. And of course, just recently we had Contour Airlines, and we're going to have them on the show in a couple of weeks to talk about their flights down to Santa Barbara. So some newer service, as you can tell. Obviously, the airline business is a good business to be in, because these folks wouldn't be adding flights if it wasn't to their financial benefit. And speaking of added flights, Sacramento. Wow, this is really amazing. For those of us who have lived in Sacramento for a long time, Tom, there was a lot of years when you couldn't get to Hawaii from Sacramento. You either had to drive to San Francisco or take a puddle jumper to San Francisco or Los Angeles. But now we have three carriers offering nonstop flights to Hawaii, with Southwest Airlines announcing their Honolulu service. Of course, some folks were able to scoop up $99 airfares when that service was announced on Thursday. Those tickets are all gone. Those were for Tuesdays and Wednesdays early in the year. The flights are going to start in January. They will depart Sacramento at 9:45 in the morning and get back here at 10:45 in the evening. Southwest has some inter-island service, so when you get to Honolulu from Sacramento, you will have the opportunity to be able to get to some of the outside islands and get back. Those fares are considerably lower than what Hawaiian Air has been traditionally charging for those flights. So if you're interested, if these flights on to Honolulu are supported, Southwest has indicated that there will be more service coming. So people now have two choices to Honolulu, both Hawaiian and Southwest. They have two choices to Maui, Hawaiian and Alaska, and also Alaska is providing a three-day-a-week nonstop service to the Big Island. So congratulations, Sacramento. You have proven that you are a legitimate Hawaiian market in the skies, and more flights are coming. Thomas, did you get any $99 air tickets?
You know, I've been seriously distracted with a couple of projects, and it just, you know, it kind of just snuck by me, and I'm just going to have to, probably have to going to pay like $179. I do have a question. Some years ago, when I had a father-in-law who lived on the Big Island, and we would fly to Hawaii, we would always fly on the wide-body planes that had, I don't know, six rows in the middle and seats in the middle and three on each side or whatever. And, you know, they had food service, and it was a huge plane. And, you know, I'm having difficulty wrapping my head around a flight that long and that far in a 737-500 or whatever.
Well, because you've been, they would be 737-800s and 900s most likely, not the MAX aircraft, which are still not back in the sky. Southwest is doing this with their existing Boeing fleet that doesn't include the MAX. But yeah, Tom, I understand. Took me a few years to get used to that also, crossing the ocean on a wide body. It seemed a little more glamorous, although I'm not sure that you had any more room or the lines to the restroom were any shorter. And of course, back in those days, they served meals on planes. Hawaiian serves what they call a free meal, although it tends to be kind of a sandwich or a breakfast burrito or something like that. I would call it more of a snack. They like to call it a meal. Southwest, is, to be fair, is not going to serve any meals at all. They're going to serve enhanced snacks a couple of times on the way. Southwest has been flying to Baltimore from Sacramento now for quite some time, and I will suggest to you that the distances there are comparable to Honolulu or to Baltimore, and so folks seem to survive that. I think it's one of those, you know, you eat before you get on the plane, you eat when you get off the plane, you take your favorite snack in your bag. These long-distance 737s are fully capable of flying across the ocean, and they've been doing it for a while, so there's no need to worry. And I, you know, we were talking a little bit before we went on the air about, you know, now there's three choices for people, and Hawaiian has a reputation for being Hawaiian. You know, they you get on the plane, and the flight attendants are dressed in Hawaiian type attire, and they serve Mai Tais and poi, and I mean, not poi. What's the juice that they serve? Pog.
Yeah.
The
Hawaiian punch.
Exactly. So, flying on their carrier, they play Hawaiian music. Alaska, not so much. I've always considered Southwest to be kind of the funnest people to travel with. They're the people who laugh and smile a little bit once in a while. So imagine now they've been gifted this destination in Hawaii. Can you imagine that they're not going to be just as fun and just as creative?
Yeah,
and
they will be. They'll step it up. They'll make it a lot of fun. They, you know, you're right. They have the right attitude, and I think they'll make it a great experience. They don't need to give me any pretzels. I flew to San Antonio and back a week or so ago, and you know, I don't eat pretzels, but I finally got to the point where I go, no thanks, because there's no more peanuts. You know, as you know.
Yeah, but if you go now, they have enhanced snacks, which include things like, you know, peanut butter Ritz crackers.
Right,
and,
but they just I just seemed to miss the, they just wasn't on my flight.
Tom, you're going to have to get, you're going to have to find yourself a better, we're going to have to hook you up with Gwen and find a better travel advisor for you, because obviously you're not on the right flights. Okay, quickly here, a couple other stories. There are some new emotional support animal guidelines that have been issued. We don't have time to go over them today, but we'll take the time next week. Of course, this whole emotional support animal thing started because the airlines were, people figured out that if they put a vest on their animal and walked them onto the plane and told the airline they were an emotional support animal, they could save the $150, $200 charge for taking an animal on the plane. I get it, but it's rapidly gotten out of control. So we're going to try to get it back into control. And next week on the Travel Guys, we will talk about how that's going to happen. There are some new regulations that I hope, will go a ways towards kind of a compromise so that people who have service animals and really need that help on the airplane, or have an animal that specifically performs a task for them when they're traveling that they really need the animal for, and so that the freeloaders can start paying their way on the plane or leaving Fido at home. The Marriott award chart has been changed. Marriott has shifted their award charts. This is really goofy. It appears to be a downgrade. Marriott says it's going to be high season, medium season, and low season, but we all know that what will happen is there will be a lot more high season dates than low season dates. This is one way that hotels change their award charts, devalue their points. So for those of you who are former Sheraton people who have joined the Marriott family, or those of you who are Marriott people, remember our points and miles philosophy here on the Travel Guys. Points and miles are there to be spent. They will never be as worth as much as they are today. So take advantage of them. They will buy more for you now than they will a year from now. So Marriott has split their awards now into three tiers. AAA has announced their honors for their housekeeping, best housekeeping awards, and these are kind of cool. Only about 25% of all AAA properties earn these awards for cleanliness and condition of their hotels. You might expect, we don't get percentages, we just get total number of hotels in a state. California is at the top of the list. You might expect that. I'm guessing California may have more hotels than any other state in the country. But the fact that California's number is twice as high as any other state is kind of interesting. Cities with the best, most best of housekeeping hotels: New York, Houston, Washington, D.C., Orlando, Charlotte, Austin, Nashville, San Diego, Anaheim, and San Antonio. Of course, again, that might be reflective of the number of hotels in the cities. But what's important here, Tom, is look for the Best of Housekeeping badge. The hotels that have earned this from AAA can use it in their advertising. I will suggest to you that a hotel that has earned a badge from AAA, and their inspections are tough, that puts them in the top 25% of the cleanest hotels in the country, those are places you want to stay. And that's your travel news for today.
All right. And we are the Travel Guys. Again, go to TravelGuysRadio.com and follow along with the program and links to all the stuff we talk about. Mark, you had some interesting experiences while waiting in Chicago. Some insight about, let's see. We're not really sure exactly what we're going to hear here. But he's going to talk about the behavior of some of his fellow passengers. I hope you weren't one of those. That's next.
I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again.
Leaving on a jet plane to somewhere. I don't know. Mark, do you have any stats? People still take a lot of road trips compared to flying places? Is driving to destinations down because of all of the availability of getting there quick?
I'll tell you what, I wish the heck I'd have taken the train to St. Louis today. It had been a nice, leisurely 4.5-hour trip, and I'd have been there a long darn time ago. I was supposed to leave here about 11:30 this morning. I'm now leaving at 9:30 at night, and I guess I'm fortunate. You know, I didn't have anywhere else to go, just some family things, so we had, instead of two nights together, we'll have one night together. And the weather in St. Louis this time of year is lovely. I understand it's going to be 90 degrees today, and the humidity is something like 82%, so a really desirable place to be. But no, Tom, you know how we tell folks all the time, before we get into this behavior thing, we tell folks, if you have an option on when to go, we talked a couple weeks ago about getting up and going to the theme park early or going to the attraction early. And, you know, this really applies with flying, is that first flight out is oftentimes the best decision. This morning, the people leaving Chicago who took the first flight out got out. Mm-hmm. The people were leaving between 5:30 and 6:30, 6:45. Their flights all left, and then usually the thunderstorms come in the afternoon. Today they came early in the day, and so that really messed things up. A lot of the first inbound flights of the day couldn't get in, which meant then there were no planes to go out. First rule of air flying is that your plane has to arrive before it departs. And so it became kind of a problem. And so what you've got is a lot of people who left for the airport assuming that their plane would be there and got to the airport and got checked in and now found, especially if their plane was starting the morning in a nearby city, that it wasn't coming and that it was going to be delayed. And as the delays mounted up, in many cases, flights were canceled. And in some cases, you could get shuffled to something later in the day. And in some cases, you couldn't. And of course, that makes people cranky. And it's summertime, and there are a lot of families traveling and children who have been waiting in waiting areas at airports for 2 or 3 hours tend to be a real joy to be around. And I really pity the parents because in many cases, they're doing everything they can. So I just, you know, you see these things. You fly pretty frequently, Tom. So I'm sure you mm-hmm. see some of this stuff. You got to put on your courtesy hat when you go to the airport. You've got to realize that you are dealing with a lot of people who do not make a lot of money, who are serving you. And I'm talking about everybody from the airline counter people. Some of them do a little better. But the people pushing the wheelchairs and the TSA people are not paid a fortune. The gate agents, the people working the concessions in particular at the airport are not paid a fortune. So skycaps, things like that. So you're dealing with people who don't make a tremendous amount of money, and if you decide to unload on them, they have virtually no incentive to help you. So, I mean, it's just as easy for them to walk away from you and help the next guy. So get out your wallet occasionally and tip these people a few bucks. You know, they may have gone through hell to get to work this morning just so they could be there to serve you your burger or push your wheelchair to the gate or something like that. So a little recognition of that goes a tremendously long way, and treating them with courtesy. And the other thing is just treating your other passengers with courtesy, smiling at the TSA people and stuff like that. Trust me, you will set yourself apart from 85% of the people who are traveling that day. You will get little smiles and little courtesies will come your way and things will happen to you. And if you're a person who believes in karma, you will create it all around yourself.
It has to be tough. I mean, there are some people that, like you say, they may not be on quite a tight a schedule, but it only takes a small number of people to kind of like spin it badly for the rest. And I'm sure you probably saw some of that. And you know, in your delay, in your situation, you know, comparably speaking to how things can get when delays and bad weather really impacts hundreds and hundreds of flights, it can get pretty ugly. How long were you? You found out that you were delayed when you got to the airport, or did they notify you ahead of time?
Well, I was notified ahead of time, and then my flight got canceled. I went ahead and went to the airport when I thought it was about time that the delay had been waited out, and my flight got canceled after I got through security. And I stayed a little while, and then when it became obvious that my second flight got canceled, why then I found it was going to be a long time, so I came back to the hotel. But while I was at the airport, and it wasn't all bad, I watched this businessman who, I mean, nobody wears a tie anymore, at least not very many people wear a tie, but he had a suit on, and it's a Sunday, and he had a briefcase, and so I'm guessing he was a business person. And this lady was having a terrible time. She had three little ones, and as I watched from probably 50 feet away, this one of the little ones needed to use the restroom, and so she was kind of trying to figure out what she was going to do with all their stuff and the other two kids and things. And this businessman got up and walked over and said, "Hey, you know, how about if I watch the other two while you take this one to the restroom?" And then he got, by the time she came back, he had the other two kids playing some kind of game that had to do with airplanes, and they were looking out the window and laughing and joking. And I will just tell you that the mood of the entire little pod there, mm-hmm, of 20 or 30 people was significantly improved. There were a lot more smiles just because that man reached out and did something nice to that lady. And I kind of felt it, I will tell you honestly, it made me feel guilty that I hadn't thought about it myself, well, although he was a lot closer to her.
Yeah, but then again, you know, what did they tell you on the loudspeaker at the airport every time you're there? That is, watch your own stuff. Don't have somebody else watch it for you and so forth. I mean, he broke a bunch of rules. In fact, she even broke more by allowing him to, a stranger, to watch her stuff and her kids. But,
you know,
I mean, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do.
Well, you're in a secure area at an airport, so you do have some advantages that you might not have out in a public space. But it was just nice to see. I watched another gentleman and a lady. He and his wife were waiting.
20
and
seconds.
There were a couple of wheelchairs, and he had to the lady helped a wheelchair pusher to get somebody to the gate to help them get their flight. So just little acts of kindness. Take them to the airport with you on difficult days.
All right. Steve LaRosa joins us. What's going on all over the area? That's next here on The Travel Guys. On the boats, on the planes, on the trains, in the air, it is The Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. As always, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And periodically, we bring you up to date on what's going on. As Marvin Gaye so appropriately sings. So, with that being said, the Mr. What's Going On guy, Steve LaRosa, joins us in studio. Steve, how you doing?
Doing great, Tom. Great to be back, and I've got quite a lineup for you today.
All right. Well, all right. Without further ado, everyone, like I told you, go to travelguysradio.com. I'm looking right here on the right side of the screen, right above these two really handsome guys, is the links to a lot of stuff we're going to talk about. So let's get her started.
The first one is Cruise Fest on Fulton Avenue, Tom. And this is really Northern California's premier car cruise. And it's a benefit for the California Automobile Museum. And it takes place Saturday, October 5th. From 3 to 7:30. And the cruising takes place between El Camino and Marconi.
Now, this has been an annual event. I've heard nothing but good things about it, and I know it gets changed up a little bit. What is it about the Cruise Fest there on Fulton Avenue that makes it a little different and special for people in the Sacramento area?
Well, of course, we'll have about 400 classic and custom cars. and a number of food trucks, and about a half a dozen bands, and a lot of unique, one-of-a-kind novelty vehicles like the Save Mart shopping cart, which has a dragster engine in it, or got a guy, Eric, who has a Harley, and he pulls a hearse behind him.
Okay.
And he actually uses it for funerals. Anyway, the cruising takes place from 3 to 5, and then cars park, and everyone's on foot for close-up views till 7:30. And this is a free family event for spectators, and cruisers can register at calautomuseum.org.
Now, I understand they basically closed down Fulton Avenue there between El Camino and Marconi.
Right.
And do the cruise.
Yeah, it's a good one. Next, we're talking about Steel in Chicago. It's a tribute band playing the music of Chicago. This is going to be at Black Oak Casino in Tuolumne, up in Tuolumne. And it's August 24th, Tom, from starts at 9 p.m., and this is a free show.
Well, yeah. All right. You know, I've been running across a number of tribute bands recently, and Super Huey, for example. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, if you're really a fan of these bands, a lot of times they're as good or even better in some cases than the originals, because sometimes the original band, especially if the members are get to be like my age, and you're starting to, you know, the high notes are starting to fade on you. So I understand this Steelin' is a very, very good Chicago tribute band. What else you got?
And by the way, ticket information for this show and all those mentioned here today, you can get that information at travelguysradio.com.
Steve?
Then, who was that?
Just a comment here. Being it says I am in Chicago, I just thought that the Stealing Chicago thing has a whole different meaning here where I am than from where what you're talking about. It's terms of a tribute band. Here it doesn't have anything to do with the band. It's more reality than... Anyway, never mind. Go on with your list.
All right.
Next is Food Truck Tuesdays at the Barn. This is this coming Tuesday at 5 p.m., and that's, of course, in West Sacramento at 985 Riverfront Street. And they'll have a variety of food trucks and entertainment. And then down in Stockton at the Bob Hope Theater, Saturday, September 14th, 7:30 p.m., it's the 70s popular rock band Kansas.
Love Kansas.
And they speak very highly of you as well.
Yeah. No. One of my favorite. They're kind of a country rock kind of a style in a lot of ways. What was their big hit?
Carry On, My Wayward Son.
There you go. Bob Hope Theater. I have never been.
It's beautiful.
I've heard wonderful things about it. Mark, you take travelers to the Bob Hope with Sports Leisure Vacations on a regular basis. Do you not?
We do when they have something exciting down there in Stockton. Yes, we do. Nice theater.
Next up, we have Quadruple Plugs in One Plug at the same time here. It's the Uptown Theater in Napa. On Thursday, August 22nd...
Oh, I get it. Quadruple plug. You're plugging four things at once.
Yep.
You know, I kept looking at that, and I was a little mystified for a while, but then I'm a simple sort.
I will lead you through the process here.
Okay.
So Thursday, August 22nd, it's Chris Christopherson, and then 2 days later, John Anderson of Yes will be playing there Saturday the 24th, and then the next day on Sunday, Justin Hayward of the Moody Blues. And then September 6th, David Crosby of the Byrds and Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And our last mention here is the Aaron Neville Duo. And, of course, Aaron of the famous Neville Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be Tuesday at 7:30 at the Crest Theater on K Street in Sacramento. And, again, for ticket information for all these events, travelguysradio.com.
When I was a young band member down in Modesto, playing with a group called Ice Age, and don't even ask why it was Ice Age, spelled E-I-S-A-G-E, I might add. Our band manager was the morning DJ at K5 in Modesto, and he showed up at band practice one day, and he says, "I got this song you need to learn, Tom. It's this guy named Aaron Neville, and it's a song called Tell It Like It Is." Well, if those of you that sing whatever can relate to this, Aaron Neville's style is not something that any Joe Average can make an attempt at singing. It's very unique. The Neville Brothers have it on you. And that song had so many nuances in so many little places that you're supposed to go with the vocals. You know, I must have worked on it for like a month. And finally, they talked me into giving it a try. And we were, I don't know, Modesto Auditorium or whatever. I probably got about into the second verse, and I just stepped away from the mic. And we just had some sort of random ending because it was so horrible, you know. So I want to warn you, don't tackle any Aaron Neville songs unless you really got the chops to go for it, and which I do not, did not, and will not. So anyway, I just had to throw that in.
There you go.
What else can I tell you? Okay, I guess that's about it. I did try to teach Mark guitar lessons at one time. Mark's also left-handed like myself, but uh-huh. Mark insisted that I teach him to play it backwards, or in a, you know, where you what most people would perceive as how a left-hander might play it, the opposite of what you see most right-handers play. But that never worked out for either one of us, did it, Mark?
Mm-hmm. Wasn't backwards to me. It seemed very logical, you know, to me. But
we'll have to pick that up again. Maybe we could be the travel guys duo one of these days. And so there you go.
That's all I get.
That's all he's got.
That's
for
it?
The what's going on.
There you go. That sounds pretty good, except for the steel in Chicago part, which, you know, probably is happening right outside my door as we speak.
How is the weather there now?
It's lovely now. The humidity, Tom, I'm sure it's not over 75% or so, and there's a light breeze, and people are caving in on the streets. No, I mean, it's the Midwest, and it's summertime. So, boys and girls, anybody who's been here, lived here, passed through here, this is not, shall we say, when they have their Chamber of Commerce weather.
Now, is there any chance you think that, I mean, are you pretty well solid to be able to get out of Chicago off to St. Louis tonight?
I think has cleared up. And, you know, I'm giving them a bad time today. Chicago is a wonderful city. It really is. I've been out here in the Rosemont area out near O'Hare Airport for the last couple of days just for some business meetings and the like. But it really is it's an exciting city. I mean, I know it gets a rap as being there's high crime here and stuff like that. And there are some parts of the city that a visitor would need to be careful of. But Chicago is a cool city. I wish I was going to be in town, Park, Steve. You mentioned that last year. And I know some people who are a part of that. And that's like becoming one of the premier social events in Sacramento, that annual car cruise over there on Fulton Avenue.
Well, all right.
Cool idea.
Yeah, you bet. I got to make it this year. I went 2 years ago, and it's time to go back. Well, I think that we're going to take a short break here, and when we turn to the other side, is Clayton going to be ready for us?
I think he is.
All right.
Clayton Whitehead is going to join us.
Yeah, we're going to talk about something altogether new.
A Broadway show got its start in Southern California and is going to premiere on Broadway next year. Clayton is going to tell us all about it. I suspect there are going to be a few of you who are going to be interested in this announcement. That's next, right here on The Travel Guys.
Amarillo by morning, up from San Antonio.
Mark and Tom, the travel and entertainment guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Welcome to the program. I'm in studio here in Sacramento. Really nice today. Looks like a mid-80s. Boy, Mark, I tell you, it's cooled down a little bit. It's tolerable there.
Yeah, I don't want to hear it. Here I am stuck on the
Chicago.
Other side of the country, and you're having your best weather. By the time I get home Tuesday, I see it's going to be headed up towards 100 again.
Yeah.
So thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Hey, quickly, just a couple of things here. I see Clayton is waiting for us on the telephone here to talk to us about this new show on Broadway. You know, people have said for a long time that travel agents were dying. Travel advisors, the likes of our friend Gwen Duncan, were dying. Last year, ticket sales by travel agents were up 4%. Which is a pretty sizable increase for 1 year. So what it appears is that more people are perhaps have tried the do-it-yourself way and are deciding, really and truly, folks, remember, use those websites and stuff like that to check out, find your best price, find out who's got the best deal out there. And then the thing to do is find somebody who really knows what they're doing, unless you've been doing this. I've been doing this myself for my own travel for a long time, 4 decades, and I still screw it up every once in a while and think to myself, you know, why didn't I walk down the hall and let the guy in my own office who does this for a living do it? So just keep in mind, and always, always, always check those confirmations and the things that you've done right away, because remember, with airline tickets and stuff like that, you have that 24-hour grace period to get out of things if you've made a mistake. So, Tom, I understand Clayton Whitehead is on the telephone with us now. Clayton, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Doing well here. DeMarc, he's doing better, as he might actually get out of Chicago pretty soon. Clayton, how have you been? And I understand you've got something fun to tell us. You've seen something down in San Diego that, very few people have had an opportunity to enjoy as of yet.
Absolutely. The La Jolla Playhouse is one of our nation's great theaters, really and truly. And one of the things that leads to their greatness is their ability and success at bringing shows to Broadway. It was at their little theater down on the campus of, San Diego, CSSD, I think it is. It was at their theater that the musical Memphis was born, and Memphis went to Broadway. This was about 10 years ago and won Musical of the Year. Very, very fine show with all original music. Well, a few years later, a little show called Come From Away that we've talked about a lot on this show. Come From Away, of course, was the story of the 9/11 planes that landed in Gander, Nova Scotia, or Newfoundland, and an entire musical was written about it. And that also originated at the La Jolla Playhouse, and of course did very well in the Tonys as well. So fast forward to this past January and February, the La Jolla Playhouse launched a show called Diana, a new musical on the life of Diana, Princess of Wales. And of course, this is a very delicate topic. We all know how the story ends, and it's not a very happy ending, but a very compelling story. And I felt they just did a remarkable job putting the show together. Great music, great scenery, great costumes. And I just got word this past Thursday that they've lined up the producers and the show is headed to Broadway. It'll be opening in March of 2020. So very exciting news from our great state, and specifically the La Jolla Playhouse. They're going to have another big Broadway hit on their hands, I suspect.
So, Clayton, I got to ask you, you've seen the show, right?
Yes, this past February, we actually took 3 sports leisure groups down to La Jolla. So about 100 Sacramentans, at least, have enjoyed the show. And I was the one who took the very first group. So it was exciting. I think I think everybody knows a little about the story, maybe a lot, and I think everybody kind of has their opinion on the characters. And what I loved about the show is there's the 4 main characters, Diana, Charles, Camilla, and the Queen, and none of them are painted as being really good guys or bad guys, but they all are just kind of living the life that has been assigned to them. You know, as a royal, as a friend of a royal, you have certain things that are out of your control. You have certain protocols, certain rules, certain expectations. And in my way of thinking, they were all kind of painted as really kind of unfortunate souls. I mean, you know, when I was a little kid, I used to dream about growing up and becoming a king. You know, I think that part of our childhood is to admire the royalty and aspire for such greatness. But with that kind of greatness comes a lot of, there's just a lot of strings attached. You know what I mean? And they were really painted as just being really good people on their own. And if they had control over the situation, things may have really turned out differently. But they were all just having to, like, play this part that was assigned to them. And playing the part obviously wasn't satisfactory for Diana, and she decided to play a new part. But even that still came with a lot of expectations and restrictions. And, of course, it had a very sad ending for her. It's a brilliant show, and I think for anybody who's curious about the royals or or that particular time in history, I think it would be a show that, you would really enjoy.
You know, we should, and we should point out that oftentimes the show that you see in the pre-Broadway openings, in like at the La Jolla Playhouse, or sometimes in some of the Connecticut theaters, or in a Chicago theater, oftentimes is a lot different when it gets to Broadway. It's the purpose of those runs at the beginning are to kind of iron out some of those kinks before they get to Broadway, and then of course the previews of the show itself before it opens. Clayton, you saw the show, and it sounds like you have a pretty good grasp of the story. How do you think that something like this? I mean, it's obviously not about a car crash. It's about people's lives. And so do you have a feeling for how it might do?
I think it'll do very well. I think, I think Broadway is hungry for new content. I mean, you know, I've gone to see musicals that were based on favorite movies, and I even liked them. But Broadway has kind of gotten in a rut, in my opinion, on just not enough new content, not enough new music. We're just seeing old movies rehashed and rehashed and rehashed. So I think it's exciting that this is something new, first of all. And two, I think it's just a real compelling story. And it doesn't hurt that Diana's two sons are media darlings and seem to be really decent people, you know, despite that world that they grew up in and the stress and conflict between their parents, despite losing their mother at a young age. It seems to me they've both turned out to be pretty awesome young men who are raising families and, you know, maybe even keeping the monarchy going into the 21st century. So I think there's a lot of attention on the monarchy now, and that's sure to help the Diana ticket sales as well.
Clayton, you know, a lot of businesses, a lot of entertainment, a lot of things have to move forward. They have to focus on that next generation and the generation that follows that in regards to entertaining them. And if you continue to rehash the same old themes, the same old Broadway shows, you know, eventually, you know, that audience, if you will, you know, is going to die off. You have to create something new for the new generations. I think the Hamilton is a perfect example of doing something different and doing it in such a great way, and kind of reinventing Broadway. Do you see that that Diana is in that same vein? And what's the music like? Is it contemporary?
I would say that it's a little bit more traditional. It is dealing with a very formal topic, you know, talking about the monarchy. But the show, the script, you know, the actual dialogue, the spoken parts, use very fresh language and vocabulary. It's not stodgy. So this is definitely not as groundbreaking as Hamilton. None of the songs are going to be hip hop or rap, but it is fresh and new. And I think it's told with a contemporary flair, which would make it interesting to younger people who, you know, may not have been born yet or just been kids when all of this drama was unfolding in London and then in Paris. And again, I just think there's so much interest in Wills and Harry right now, and Kate and Meghan, of course, as well. So I think young people would enjoy this show and, you know, kind of see where these two boys came from and maybe be inspired by it.
Well, and now it's been almost a generation since Diana's passing, so a whole new a generation of folks who might not be very familiar with her life. And that was all a very, very sad, tragic situation. So we'll hope that Broadway can really make it come to life. Clayton, thank you for your insight into the show. Diana's premieres again in March. Is that correct on Broadway?
I believe it's March the 20th. It's something like that. Late March. It'll open up in previews. I believe the date was March the 6th. Run a couple weeks in previews and then open officially in late March.
If you want to go with a group and see it, there'll be an opportunity. I think Sports Leisure Vacations will have a trip sometime in April. Clayton, thank you for your time today and joining us on the Travel Guys. Safe travels to you, my friend.
Thank you. Hope you get home today.
Yeah. So, Thomas, we are just about to the end of another program here.
We got a minute.
And we got a minute. We are going to, next week, we're going to talk a little bit about this, the new regulations for taking animals on airplanes. And we're also going to try to connect with a couple of the carriers, as we mentioned earlier in the program, who are now providing some secondary service to Sacramento. If you're wanting places like Merced and Santa Barbara, why then that previously wasn't possible, but it is now. Sounds like Contour Airlines plans to offer some service maybe to San Luis Obispo and perhaps Eureka before we get too far down the road also. So some new air service coming to Sacramento. It's all kind of exciting. Our airport is growing up. In fact, if you go out there at the wrong time, you're going to find no place to park and have a hard time getting out of things because that's just how busy it is out there. Thomas, you have a good week. Steve, thank you very much for all that you contribute to the Travel Guys on our and for another great edition of What's Going On. You all dance like nobody's watching.
All right, my friends, we'll see you next week. Same time, same station. Stay well, my friends.